Thank you very much, first, for inviting me to this meeting. I'm also not going to talk about the technical issues. Maybe I'm going to talk something that might improve what he has from the Africa region. We are working on a project called Africa Rising. Rising is in capital letters. It stands for Research in Sustainable Intensification for the Next Generation. SIG presented something on Africa Rising. And he started with identifying the sustainable indicators. What is that word we use? The five domains. And if you think about that, the domains are addressed by different disciplinary scientists. And because of that, then we created what we call partnerships to work together to address the issues of agriculture. So I'm going to talk about how Africa Rising came about, and then I will tell you how Africa Rising does its research and scaling through the partnerships. Now, we have two types of partnerships. We have research partnerships, and we have research plus development partnerships. Africa Rising came about, and I think I was very happy that Robert stated that the rates of hunger are declining. But when you look at this map and you are in the field, you don't see that decline that is shown on the graphs. For some of us who are on the ground, we still see big yield gaps. We still see trade deficits that are happening because of poor productivity. And there are reasons for this. Some of them are probably beyond the farmers. The issues that have to do with climate change, for example, land degradation, poor soils, which are already existing, some are caused by poor farming. We have institutional problems. We have talked about policies. Investment is very low in agriculture. But one of the issues that we could address, and the farmers we work with have been telling us, is provision of knowledge to these farmers that they themselves could use to improve their own productivity. And we have been, now that diagram is quite poor probably, but we have been talking to farmers and we identify the challenges that these farmers could address if they were informed. Issues to do, for example, with crop spacing, issues to do with crop varieties, issues to do with what to plant where on a slope. Those are issues that are not, that need the science that we already have, that we could take to the farmers and they address the issues of productivity. So the FTF, I think, recognized this. And the idea is that if the farmers were able to access the technologies that we have and utilize them efficiently, then we would be addressing the intensification that we are talking about. Now, research institutions, international, local, all have been developing technologies. Technologies are available. The problem is that, especially for international institutions, that they address issues that are not integrated. You have, for example, IIT, which I come from. They mainly work on natural resources. If you go to CIMIT, they work on maize. If you go to International Livestock Research Institute, they work on livestock. But the farmer addresses all of this. So the idea of Africa Rising was to bring these institutions together with their different technologies which have been addressed, but integrate them so that they address the issues of the farm problems wholesome. And so, because of that, Africa Rising was born. And as I said, in order to address those issues, we need partnerships within the research community, we need to have the different disciplinary technologies integrated, but we also need to work with the development partners in order to have these technologies that we have developed reach out to the farmers. Africa Rising as a program is working in three mega sites. We are working in West Africa, here in Mali and Ghana. That is one mega site. Then we are working in Ethiopia. And then the East and Southern Africa project, we are working in Tanzania, Malawi, and Zambia. And these are the different regions, plotted the areas where we are working. The green diamonds are research activities, and the red triangles are where we have started taking technologies that we developed from research. Together with the development partners, we are taking the technologies to scale. I'm going to talk about the first partnership, which is partnership within the research community. And the idea is to generate multidisciplinary sustainable intensification innovations for the households. And this is what we mean, that we need scientists who address issues of inputs. We need good seeds. We need fertilizers. They might be organic. We need feeds. We need, you know, inputs that help the production process. But the most important area is how these inputs go through the systems, how we work together so that livestock can produce good manure, which supplies nutrients, that supplies food and feed crops. These go backwards. We need to get scientists who work together to put out innovations that will address these issues in order to increase our inputs. And this is much easier, but we have to consider that there are issues that this research works within that actually determine how these processes may work. For example, if you don't have markets, there's no reason why a farmer should increase his or her inputs if it is not going to be sold, or if after selling it is not going to make profit. So we have to consider these issues as we develop our technologies here. Now, when we are getting the researchers to work together, we have found it better to go to individuals, attract expertise, rather than going to institutions and ask for expertise. We headhunt for the best people that we feel can work together as a team, that can integrate ideas and activities, but we also allow them to appreciate that working as a team is better than working as individuals. And as of now, Africa Rising has worked with 240 scientists from different institutions, international, local, US universities. Michigan State is one of them, for example, from 47 research institutions. Now, these scientists are not full-time. They come, address an activity. When the activity finishes, the scientist goes. We get new ones as we get new challenges. The scientists normally meet annually to plan what should happen in the next year, but also report on what they have achieved in the previous year. But at the site level, they meet more frequently because that's where the action is. And then we have platforms. We call them research for development platforms, but essentially they are innovation platforms which bring all the stakeholders together so that we learn from each other what we want and what we can supply. What happens is when we get these research partners together and we start going to the field, the research partners go as a team. They do the community analysis together. They identify the challenges together. And in the end, they also go together to some extent when it is time for implementing technologies. When we have come from the communities, especially at the annual meetings, then we sit together and use the influence diagrams in order to identify what priority activities that we should do. So this is one of the meetings, an example of a meeting that we hold, and the scientists identify the challenges that they have collected from the field, and they prioritize and determine what should be addressed first. And so I've picked one example. For example, the livestock group wanted to determine the best combinations between a legume and a grass that would form the best pasture for livestock. But in order to get a climate smart one, they had to work with scientists, soil scientists, who were able to identify a system that utilizes water more productively. I guess this is where climate smart issues come in. So you need a system like this one that has the highest water productivity to adopt or to recommend to development partners to take it up. Now this is from a publication which is coming up this year, and this publication was authored by 10 people from 6 research institutions, and I think this is an indication of how the partnership is working together. I have a good example from Ethiopia. I picked this one from Ethiopia because I wanted to show how indigenous knowledge can be important. We don't have to imagine that farmers are not researchers. And so the scientists, the indigenous knowledge is such that farmers grow faba bean, but they don't weed the faba bean. And the reason is that the weeds provide feed for the livestock. The weeds, when they have matured, it is actually a source of feed for the livestock. So scientists imagine that if they have weeded the faba bean earlier, there would be more production on faba bean and that the farmers would benefit more. But it didn't happen. So it is important when we go to the field that we also keep in mind that what the farmers are practicing can be more productive than what the scientists imagine. But in order to overcome this, the scientists then introduced the forages in the intercrop, and you can see that the forages are performing much better. So the second approach is that researchers co-invest with development partners. Now, the development partners must be willing. This is what we have found out. They should be willing and they should be able to take up the innovations that have been developed by the researchers to take them to scale. So both institutions, the research institutions and the development institutions, benefit from working together. Now, why do we do this? USAID in many cases wants us to reach many farmers. But by the nature of research, it's very difficult to reach farmers because we are doing we're science with a few farmers. We don't do extension. So if researchers worked alone, we imagine, for example, in Africa Rising, we could only reach thousands of farmers, the farmers we are working with. So the idea is that if we form alliances with the public sector here and the private sector, and especially USAID-supported development partners, we would be able then to reach tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of farmers. We, in Tanzania especially, we have started this alliance. We work with a project called NAFAKA. I'm going to show you how it works. Now the problem comes when we start being asked attribution. Now who do these farmers belong to? Do they belong to USAID development project or do they belong to Africa Rising? I think the farmer doesn't care as long as he benefits. So those numbers we can sort out with USAID later. So this is what is happening between Africa Rising and NAFAKA. NAFAKA is Tanzania Grain Staples Value Chain or something like that. That is a development project funded by USAID. So when we started as Africa Rising, we were working with few farmers because of the how we work. And we started negotiating with NAFAKA how we could work together so that NAFAKA actually takes up technologies informed by science to the farmers. They have the means, the system on how to reach farmers to take these technologies to them. But the technologies that are being taken to scale should be informed technologies. So the alliance is that Africa Rising should deliver technologies as well as develop capacity of the extension personnel of NAFAKA, and then we work together. And you can see when we started working together, the numbers started going up. We have a 3-year partnership, and we expect to reach about 50,000 farmers in 3 years. If we stayed alone as Africa Rising researchers, we probably would still be around here in 3 years. So this is the advantage of researchers joining hands with development partners in order to take technologies to the wider community. Ethiopia has a government which supports the extension, public extension, and Africa Rising then started talking to the government extension, and you can see even at local level, the extension services have the capacity to support the technologies that have been developed by Africa Rising and take them to a higher number of farmers. So this is what I meant by partnership with public institutions. Again, in Ethiopia, at the local government level, they supported the technologies that support livestock to 25 kebeles. I think a kebele is a village. Villages where Africa Rising is operating, and some of them were outside of the Africa Rising areas. Similarly, in Ghana, the Ministry of Food and Agriculture took it upon itself to organize field days on Africa Rising research sites, because Africa Rising didn't have the capacity to get the farmers that the ministry were working with. So they organized the field days. They get introduced to the technologies that Africa Rising is working on, and as a result, we have reached about 3,000 farmers as of now. We probably call them spillovers because they have learned from what is happening on the research stations and they have taken them up. So this partnership works in different ways here also. So the lessons we have had from building these partnerships is that the yield gap that we have has to be addressed by institutions working together, and that it is important to identify individuals to work with rather than going to institutions and institutions allocate to individuals. That becomes sort of political, so we have to overcome that by headhunting first. Now, partnership to work together takes some time. You don't imagine that you can pick a partner and you are going to reach agreement tomorrow. It takes some time. You need to build confidence in what is happening, and functioning partnerships, individuals begin overcoming their personal interests and work as a team. It is very gratifying, for example, when we have these scientists who are coming from different institutions going to meetings and introducing themselves as Africa Rising scientists instead of introducing themselves as IITS scientists or SEAD scientists. That means we have built some strong Africa Rising team. And partnerships, if a member of the team does not fit, we should not force that member to stay in the team. We have had to ask some team members to leave if they are not fitting in the team. But the most important thing is that we should also recognize that partnerships need financial investment in order for them to work. So this is the story I had to tell you about Africa Rising, and I think it is more encouraging than the Haiti story, I believe. Thank you very much.
We'll start our discussion with all the speakers here in just a moment. Any particular questions for Metete before we move on? About Africa Rising, a couple of them. Go ahead.
With your research on livestock, has there been any effort to look at the impact of animal traction on crop production?
No. That's one of the technologies, especially in Tanzania, where land is still quite, you can get some substantial amounts of land with farmers. Some farmers have 5 acres, 10 acres, and they use livestock for plowing, but we haven't had capacity to address that issue. There are actually many disciplines where we have failed to get the required capacity to address some issues. I think livestock is one of them, mechanization in general, and nutrition also is a problem. It is difficult to get people who address those issues. So while we look, we head hunt, sometimes we fail to get the people to do these jobs. But of course, that would be a good idea. As Robert has said, the holes should be in the museum. They shouldn't be, someone shouldn't be happy with the hole. We should be addressing issues like that, yeah.
Africa Rising, do you work with Agra also, the Alliance for Grain Revolution in Africa, or is it independent? There's a new term now, hearing this, and Agra was already there. So how do they work together to get them?
We have tried to work with Agra, but we haven't aligned very well. They have... Agra is not doing research to begin with. I think they are doing more of scaling, especially for seed, and we haven't worked with Agra very well. But we work with other projects. For example, I don't know if you know the Into Africa project, Nitrogen to Africa. We work with such projects very well. We work with the Innovation Labs, SEAL. The small-scale irrigation lab also works with us. So there are some projects we work well with, and there are some which are difficult to work with.
Other questions?
I have had a discussion with many people on what adoption means, and that's something which is like sustainable intensification. I think we have failed to define what adoption, and I think we have agreed that in a short term project like this one, we should probably be talking about users, those who have used technologies in a short time, and that adoption should be farmers who have used the technology for a long time. Now, we determine users. Every year we do go back and conduct surveys and determine households who are using the technologies. that we introduced in the previous year. We also survey the attendees of Farmer Field Days, for example, who attended in the previous year, and we do surveys to see which of those people are using the technology in this year. So every year we go back and do surveys and follow up on what is happening.